enchanté.
Hey world, you're listening to Globetrotter, the pod that puts the lover in travel lover. I'm your fearless and flirty host, Cassie Martinez. A solo traveler and digital nomad for over 7 years and counting, I've mixed business with pleasure ever since my first solo trip in 2016, when I ditched my flight home after falling in love in and with Lisbon. Join me each episode as I swap juicy travel stories with a slew of amazing adventurers who, like me, kiss and tell. Dating, backpacking, main character moments. We're going there. And you're coming with me. Hello, lovers. How we doing? If you're listening to this fresh spanking new episode around the time it's released in late May of 2023, just picture me on a yacht, shaking my ass, in Croatia. Yep, your girl is going to Yacht Week this year. For those unfamiliar, Yacht Week is known as the original floating festival and is basically a week-long extravaganza in the middle of the Mediterranean. As the name suggests, the turned-up 7-day festival takes place on a bunch of yachts, with wild theme parties taking place every single day, both on land and at sea. Pray for me. I'd always heard of Yacht Week. It's honestly almost impossible not to, as a backpacker, really. But I never thought I'd be one of those people that actually went, you know? What do I mean by that? Firstly, Yacht Week is really just not the most common thing to do as a solo traveler, which is typically how I roll. Usually, you find a lot of friend groups are the ones that go in on renting a big old boat together, with the solo folks attending typically getting batched onto boats with strangers, with whom you have to share a queen bed. A bit awkward, no? But I'm actually going with some girlies from Globetrotter's group trips to Portugal last summer. The six of us on that trip last summer had such a blast living it up in Lisbon and Lagos that pretty much the minute we all got home, the WhatsApp group was popping off again to make plans for the next summer ahead. And just as a side note, if meeting cool-ass fellow travelers down to press book on future trips is not the ultimate advertisement as to why you should hop onto a Globetrotter group trip in the future, I just don't know what is. And while we're on the subject of Globetrotter's group trips, I actually first met today's guest, Amy Duggan, while hosting Globetrotter's Galentine's Getaway to Sayulita this past February. Amy and I's paths first crossed on the beach, as often happens in Sayulita, when Amy came over to introduce herself and offer to do a tarot reading for me, right there on the sand. We immediately bonded over our shared love for cheetah print, and, well, the rest is history. A woman who wears many spiritual hats, Amy uses tools such as tarot and human design to help folks both online and IRL move to a state of radical self-love and authenticity. And you guys, after having a completely life-affirming tarot sesh with Amy, I can safely say this gal is the real deal. And I am so excited for you guys to hear just 1 ounce of her wisdom today on the pod. From dating for keeps in a party town full of travelers, to getting back to 100 after heartbreak, and protecting your energy while you're at it, this juicy and witchy episode gets into all of it, honey. Also, as a courtesy FYI, Amy and I caught up while she was at a vibrant and very lively co-work in Mexico after her casita's Wi-Fi completely cropped out. So, her audio quality is not at 100%, but this episode was just too much of a gem to let go. And, well, you guys know how travel life can go. So, thanks for understanding. So go ahead, buckle up and lift those tray tables, because Globetrotter is taking off. Welcome to the pod. So glad to have you in the Globetrotter universe, all the way from Sayulita, Mexico. Welcome, welcome.
Oh, it's amazing to be here, honestly. This has been a long time in the making, so I'm excited.
So true. Before we dive into our origin story, all of that jazz, I'd love for you to share with those listening, where are you joining from today and where are you from originally?
Yeah, so right now I'm in the beautiful, vibrant Pueblo Mágico, which is Sayulita in Mexico, in the state of Nayarit. And I've been here now since January, and I come from England. I'm from Manchester. I'm a Manchester lass, born and bred.
Love it. Love it. I mean, one of the first things I noticed about you was that like sultry, super cute accent. Hello, we've got a Brit on the pod.
I love your British accent.
Honestly, my poor British friends that I've met over the years, like they just get so roasted by me and my terrible accent all the time. Like they'll just say like a normal thing and I'm like,
schedule. And they're like, please stop. Stop. Stall.
I love it.
So back to where we met. We actually did meet in Sayulita back in February. I was there hosting Globetrotters Galentine's group trip. And you and I met on the beach in this kind of magical way. You want to tell us a little bit about what you were doing? What was that?
Yes, I will. So that day I was walking along the beach, handing out my business cards and offering tarot readings to people, seeing who wanted a message, who needed some spiritual guidance at the time. And yeah, that's how we came to know each other.
Yes, I remember you struggling on the beach, and it was one of those things. Like, I think it was like an immediate girl crush of just like, I see you, you see me. We're both in cheetah print. We're both in cheetah. I've got my big little mini fro a fro in. You've got your hair wild and loose too. And it was just one of those things that's like, yeah, like I see you. You're doing it. You're doing it. And then we just got on and we ended up doing a tarot reading together, not that day, but a couple of days later. And my God, it was so transformative. It was so amazing.
Oh, wow.
It was so amazing.
I'm so glad that you had that experience from the tarot reading.
Yes.
I mean, it all felt so perfect and aligned and divine to do it. And the fact that we twin
oh, come
hard,
on.
Like, that just adds to it.
Yes, for sure. And honestly, like, our meeting was such a Sayulita meeting, you guys. We met, yes, on the sand, but like, when we did decide to do the tarot reading, we're like, let's go to dinner first. Let's go get dinner. And then we went to this like decadent, amazing Italian spot. We got to know each other there. And then I was like, come over to my Airbnb. And we like popped out the cards, lit some incense, and just had a great hour just going through the cards. It was so Sayulita. I cannot. So tarot is just one of the things you do. In your own words, do you want to share a little bit about your work and your offerings?
Yeah. So it's such an interesting question because you commented on my post yesterday that I put up where I was like, I am not a coach anymore. Mm-hmm. So I offer coaching, but not like that anymore. It's more like what I'm doing at the minute is healing work. It's journeys, and it's all intuitively led. I work with herbs. I work with magic. I work with ritual. I work with prayer and affirmation to help people lift up and empower themselves and embrace and embody like this radical self-love, which is what I talk about quite often.
Right, you guys, she is the real deal. And you do digital work, but also, yes, like we were saying too, like in person.
Yeah, so it's online and also in person. And I love that. I feel like it really complements my personality because I've got this like real extrovert outgoing side. Mm. But then it also is good, like the online work for my introverted side.
Right, yeah. How did you find your way onto this path?
Oh, such an interesting question. This was in, you know what? And I feel like with everything, how we connected as well and what we were talking about, it was to do with love and relationships and healing from heartbreak, actually. In 2017, I was in an incredibly toxic relationship and I needed to kind of heal myself after coming out of that. And yeah. That's how I started this pathway.
Nice, nice. And we talked a little bit about how it's evolved. Like you in the beginning say, we're a coach, and now it's just become this full kind of encompassing offering.
Yeah. It's more than coaching.
Yeah.
It's a way of living. It's a way of being in the world.
I love it. So how long has it been that you've been living and like kind of posting up shop in Sayulita?
So I first came here in October and I found Sayulita in the most Sayulita way as well. I never plan my travels. I go to a place and then I'm like, okay, I've been here enough time. Let me find the next place.
Right.
And I flew into Puerto Vallarta, which is a city like an hour away from Sayulita. And I was just reading through, you know, like one of the Lonely Planet books. And in it, I saw Sayulita, and it said yoga, meditation, a little bit of party, maybe a lot of party. And I was like, that's my next destination.
Love it.
So I was only going to be here for like 5 days, and I extended to 10, and then I extended to 15, and then I actually had to leave to meet a friend. But after that, I was like, I need to come back because the energy here is just... You can't like put words to it. You cannot put words to it.
I agree. And it's like when it's aligned, boy, is it aligned. And it's one of those places, like it's classic, people extend. Like one of the gals who went on my group trips, like this is kind of the ideal scenario. They were digital nomad. And so they just stayed. They stayed. Like they hit the month mark the other day, you know?
That's so amazing.
And there are a few places out there that I really do think have this effect, this vortex, pull you in effect. And touching on another note that you just mentioned, it's so funny when you read the blogs or you go through the Lonely Planets, like when people talk about Sayulita, they always under talk about the party element. Like I've never truly seen someone like really yeah. talk about how crazy the nightlife is in Sayulita. Like everyone's like, shh, it's a yogi place. It's a quiet sort of town. I'm like, you guys are crazy. Like this place is nuts.
It's like, it's chaos. Ugh, it's not even yeah. calm chaos. It's not gentle chaos. No. It's chaos.
Dude, let me tell
it's
you.
It's amazing. Ugh,
it is. And when it hits, it hits. And, you know, it's taking me back to one of the offerings of yours that I actually went to when I was in Sayulita. It was the day before I left town. You were hosting like a new moon ceremony. And we met up. We went to the beach. And literally like 100 feet away from us was this like raging party. Like, I'm talking like the best mix you've ever heard. I was like, damn. And there we were laying on blankets, looking up at like, you know, the stars and making, you know, intentions and burning what we wanted to let go. And it was just, it was the yin yang that is Sayulita right there.
It's definitely like a place of polarities. And I remember we were talking about how, like, when you're here, there's like different slip streams that you can like flow on. So you can flow on like the party wave if you want, or like you can do the more kind of like alternative spiritual stuff as well. And I think like when you get the best of both, it's just perfect.
Right. It's what's your flavor? And it totally depends on what day of the week it is. Like, what do you want to indulge? And you know, what part of town you're living in. Like if you're like far away from like the hustle and like the loud music that goes till like 5 a.m. in the city center, like you could be like waking up at 5 a.m. instead of going to bed at 5 a.m. Like it just depends.
It's so true. It really does depend.
Oh my gosh. Love it. So aside from your tarot beach readings, when you just got out in the sand and like shook hands and met people, what are some of the other ways that you have made community and grow your biz in Sayulita?
So I've done a few markets here. At the Salida Hostel, workshops as well at my sister's house is a really great way to kind of, that I've been branching out my community. And then also online, like before I came here, I had a small community on Instagram, small connected community. So yeah, it's kind of just like evolved from there. But I love doing markets. I think that's so much fun.
Yeah.
Like I just love the whole vibe. Like you get to meet like different creators and see what people are offering. Yeah.
That's the Mexico, well, Sayulita specifically vibe is like, it's like a Saturday. People wake up and like kind of go to a hippie market or what? How would you set the scene for us?
Yeah, you kind of wake up and stroll down to, there's a beautiful maker's market on Fridays in the days. I don't know if you've been, Cassie, but there's an array of different things. Like you can get clothes and like there's incense being sold there and just like the smells, there's people like playing music and like a little bit of mariachi. It's interesting here because it's very like expat focused, but I think it's got like a beautiful fusion of Mexican culture here. So you can come in and get a flavor for what it's like to be in actual Mexico.
Yeah. And do you have like a chair there? Do people just like come and get a reading or how does that work?
Yeah. So when I do it, I have a little chair. There's two chairs. I sit at the behind the table and they'll sit on the side and I'll just read their cards there. And often I'll do like either a one card reading or a three card reading at these events. Just because it's easier and quicker.
Yeah, totally. When it was our night together, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go for the hour-long package, please. Like, honestly, it's the Taurus in me. Like, I tell you guys this on the pod all the time, but like one minute I'm in a bunk bed and then the next, like if you offer me like two packages, like literally tomorrow, I'm going to go and have a two-hour facial. Because there was a 90-minute and there was 120. And I was like, I'm doing that. there's like these little things I splurge on. And when it comes to like self-care and these really just like amazing offerings like you do, it was like so decadent, you know, just to like hang and to hear and just like luxuriate in all this information that you're presenting. And I do just want to add that, like, readings with you, for those that are listening that are really interested in having one, it was just a completely positive experience. You know, you're dealing with delicate information, right? Like, you're getting all of this sorts of information in the card, like, you know, it might not be the most positive from, like, the outset. And I think some people are a little scared maybe to go into tarot because it can sometimes feel so heavy.
That's so true.
But it was such a positive experience. And, like, everything you weaved into, like, this, like, alchemized gold of, like, you know what? That's actually a positive because of XYZ. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Because everything is perspective.
And this is just, like, for everyone who's listening, you should never leave a tarot reading feeling like you're doomed or like the world is going to end. That's not a good reading. The reading should help you clear and shift your energy to a more like higher state or a more positive vibration.
I love that.
And so that's a little tip.
Yes, yeah. Taking that with us. And, you know, I was reading in your offerings as well that you do human design, or correct me if I'm wrong, like how do you do that? And what is that for folks listening? It's like such a hot subject right now.
It really is. So what I do, like my approach is interesting because I weave astrology and human design together to give intuitive readings for people. And basically what human design is a system of like your unique energy. So you can tap into your unique gifts and strengths. So you could actually start to embody the energy that you're supposed to be living in. Like, it's a tool and like a framework for living a more authentic life, a more empowered life, a more like vibrant and juicy and sassy life.
Yes.
So I love it. I really, really love it. And you can pull out so many empowering messages to kind of lift people up into the people that they're meant to be so they can shine.
I love that. I love that. Finding your natural gifts and leaning into them. Amazing. I'll be talking to you about that after this. Setting some time. Oh my gosh. So something else that I remember about our time together in Sayulita was you had these two furry companions that honestly were like your shadows in Sayulita.
Yes.
Please, how did these two fur babies come into your life? What's the story?
So they're actually with me right now. They follow me everywhere.
So
and
cute.
Just for context, I've got a small one and he's called King. And then I've got a bigger one. He's more like an Alsatian and she is called MJ. And they were just street dogs and they were on the street that I have my apartment at. And one day I was just like, you know what? I'm going to give them a little bit of water. I'm going to give them a little bit of food and a little bit of love. And then after about a week of me doing this, they like started following me into town. And I was like, okay, I guess this is it then. I guess you're my dogs now.
So sweet.
And that bond is so sweet, isn't it, Cassie?
Yes. One is so much bigger than the other. And I've seen on your story as well on Instagram, like they're just always cuddled up. Like, you know, the Spanish word for like dogs is like mascota.
Mascota.
Yeah, which like to us English speakers is just like mascot, you know? And it's so funny, like they're your mascots.
That's so true.
They really are like your little creatures. They're so, so cute. And the thing as well about Sayulita is like everybody has their fur babies. But I've not seen this bond like you guys got very often. So just had to call attention to it. So cute.
I think people know my dogs more than they know me. So it's so funny.
Oh,
or they know I'm nearby if they see my dogs.
Oh, so cute. You know,
At
this point in my life, I've gone to Sayulita 3 times. The second time I was healing from like a massive heartbreak. And the heartbreak was centered around somebody I had met in Sayulita the year before. So it was like a very triggering trip that time, but it was also very healing. And I think that Sayulita is that place. Triggers you, but also offers you like the resources to heal that said trigger.
So true.
Yeah.
You've put that like such a beautiful way. That is so true.
Yeah. I mean, I say to people who I offer like, you know, the suggestion to go to Sayulita is like, it's an intense place. But it's a very good healing place too. Like the first week or first few days you're there, like a lot's going to come up. For me, that trip, it was a lot of heartbreak coming up and realizing that something really was and truly over. But at the same time, it was like, okay, now what? And I remember I was just really connecting with a lot of like the street dogs there. And I was like, oh, maybe I want to adopt from here, blah, blah, blah. And that's when I came home and I went to the adoption center here in my town in Texas and I adopted my fur baby. And we just reached a year like this past weekend through her the most extravagant doggy birthday.
I love that.
But yeah, Sayulita is the gift that keeps giving. And like we were saying, like it is a bit traumatizing in the beginning. But you will make it through and you will be better for it.
So I have a little theory. It's like when you come here, everything that's not in like resonance with this like love comes up, it comes up, it comes up, it comes up. Oof. So you can like release it and let it go and step into like more love.
So true. So true. Sure. And honestly, like for those that are looking for a little travel relationship, travel spark, like you're going to find it in Sayulita. Like it's not a question. It's just a matter of when.
It's a matter of when and it's a matter of who, because,
so true.
And we spoke about this too, there are many, many a fuckboy, a Sayu fuckboy.
Oh my
they
God.
Are everywhere.
Yes, yes. And you like learn these things the hard way. This was what we really, truly, besides the cheetah print, like bonded over, was just how wild dating in Sayulita is. My gosh.
I think because it's such a transient town, isn't it? So there's people coming through all the time from different places. And, you know, there's so many beautiful people here.
Oh, gosh, like, yeah.
Oh, like, so many. And I think people have, like, different options. So there can be an element of love being discarded, like, quite easily. Or even friendships being discarded quite quickly and easily.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. You know, whenever you're in a transient place, Sayulita being one of them, but also just these kind of like big hubs that draw in a lot of travelers and sort of travelers that stay for phases and chapters, like there is just this like, you know, sliding doors sort of energy of people coming in and out. And you put it really well. Like, I think it can cause some people to have this sort of casualness that can feel like coarse. Like it's like, whoa, hey, you know, like we're both romantics through and through. Hello. But I think sometimes when people approach like that casual dating or like even casual hookups, like it's like, hey, 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 just because we're, you know, not necessarily like a serious relationship doesn't mean there needs to be this coarseness or detachment in such a heavy way. My gosh.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's like the communication piece. It's like, all right, let's have casual relationships, but please, can we also communicate and be honest about where we're at? You know, it's not hard.
Yes, yes. You know, and I won't put this all in Sayulita. Like when I was in Panama in the fall, I remember I experienced the same sort of energy in a tiny little beach town as well. I felt in a weird way in Playa Vanao, only 300 people live there, right? And that's including like at most, like all the tourists. And what I felt like was like people didn't want to be romantics. Nobody wanted to go on dates. There was a lot of like secret keeping of like, oh, who's hooking up with who? Oh, but they're not open about it. Oh, they're suddenly open about it. They've reached a stage where they're open about it. Like it was just a lot going on. And there was that very sexy energy in the air too. Like all of us are in our swimsuits all freaking day long. It's a lot.
Like half naked. It's a lot. It's a lot. Like it makes anyone else caught under the collar, you know, like it's understandable.
Yeah, exactly. And more feels like more when you're in that kind of mindset for sure. It's like, I mean, well, why would I settle down when there's like someone new coming on the bus? And it's like, no, honey.
It's so true. It's like another friend of mine said here, like, don't come to Sayulita if you're looking for a committed relationship.
Ooh.
And that one was like, that. I was like, okay, really? I want to tell you all, though, actually, I am in a committed relationship at the minute.
Hey, hey.
Yeah. And I did find him in Sayulita, so.
Yes. You know what? I do really feel when people say those sorts of things to you, it's a projection. Like, I had that exact same conversation in Playa Vanao with this guy. He was just a friend, but I was telling him about, like, something that happened over the week, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm so confused and this and that. And he just started laughing. He was like, don't take it so seriously. Nobody here wants a relationship. Nobody at all. Nobody wants to go even on a date. And I was like, just because that's your reality doesn't make it everyone's reality. But that's the funny thing about silos and who we keep in our circles, because like, if that's who you surround yourself with, other people that are just on that exact page, like that will be your reality and you're the odd one out. it's a very odd feeling. And then you're like, then you go to somebody else, like say, you know, we all have those friends that they're all couples and we feel like the odd duck. You know, it's all about who you surround yourself with.
And that's such an important piece, babes. I think it's important to know, like, and just be aware of the fact that, like, some people will project their own stuff onto you and that isn't necessarily true for you. Don't let anyone else's projections limit your experience of your life because it's your life.
Yeah, so, so true. On that subject, let's talk about discernment and protecting your energy. This was a subject that I felt like we really dived into over Italian that one night. Particularly when you're in a town full of travelers or folks that are, quote, you know, in that purely party mindset, like using discernment, protecting your vibes. Do you have any tips for, you know, communicating intentions or your boundaries early?
Yeah, so, I mean, again, it's been like a process of trial and error of like having to learn the hard way in order to know what my boundaries are and how to discern things. But I basically make people go through a calling process now. Like, that is the situation. It's like, I need you to show me who you are. Yeah. And if your actions align with what you're saying before anything happens.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah.
So true. And I love what you said as well of it's trial and error. I think we can be so hard on ourselves. I was listening to this podcast. I talk about this podcast a lot on this podcast, but it's Matthew Hussey. Maybe you're familiar with him. He's a fellow Brit.
I've never heard of him.
He is basically like a love coach, a love and dating coach. He hosts a pod and basically, he got like a listener write in saying, oh my gosh, I feel so terrible. Like I ruined this relationship. I knew I was being too clingy and I did it anyway. And the whole moral of the story, like he was having downloads in this. I was like shook listening. He was saying he was like, you know, maybe on a conscious level, you knew that you were being too clingy. You knew that you were doing this thing, or maybe you weren't exercising, in this case, your boundaries or whatever. But it took that thing and it took that experience for it to really set in your head, like, oh, this is what my boundary is. Because you may be listening to this and you may not even realize you have boundaries or what they are. That was another thing that you said.
Yeah, I never knew what my boundaries were.
Exactly. Or like, what is a pattern? Like, you just may not even be there yet. Or maybe that's developing for you, that understanding. A lot of this happens as we get older. Like, I'm 31 now, I think. But like, yeah. It's so, so true. Like things need to happen in order for you to know what you like, what you don't like, what you will accept, what you don't accept. Gosh.
It's true. And I think it's really helpful to have the perspective where you're like, okay, relationships are portals for growth and more self-understanding. And if you look at it in that way, then no relationship is a failure because ultimately you're coming into more wholeness and more self-understanding within you.
Yes. Oh my God. Preach the portal. It's so true. I think I had a mind-blowing moment listening to another podcast about that. This one was actually a podcast about like Carl Jung and like all of his teachings. It was amazing. And it was this kind of circle of like older scholars just breaking down different topics that he had talked about. And this was about love. And what someone at the table said that I just was so like mind-blown by was that love, exactly like you're saying, it is an invitation into the self because the, you know, simulation of going through love and deepening your love with someone else, like we oftentimes think it's about us, but no, it's about you and what that other person is bringing up for you to work through and like triggers to heal and to go deeper in. I was just shook because I think, I mean, particularly we as women, we see how much TV, how much mass media talking about love and it's about pleasing the other person or going super deep with the other person. But you got to be good with you.
Yeah.
It's not going to work with anybody else until you're good with you.
Exactly. Exactly. And like, how are you like holding yourself when these triggers do come up, especially in relationship? Yeah. Because they do, you know, like I'm sure you know about attachment theory and
the anxious avoidant dance and becoming more secure. Like
that whole process is like you having to learn how to be with all of these parts of yourself that either want to like cling on or hide away.
So true. So true. And I think, you know, what we're talking about, which is like protecting your energy when you do enter the dating world or, you know, we all have needs. Say you want to like have a casual hookup with somebody or maybe go deeper, whatever. You're coming across all their shit too. It's like your two galaxies meeting and they may not be like doing the work or whatever. And so them being cold to you or detached or moving on to the next, like right after you and like breaking your heart in a way. Like, again, that has nothing to do with you. That's their thing. I think that's so critical.
Exactly. I think in those moments, just it's coming back to that discernment, checking in with yourself. And it's like, is this something that I really want to do?
Yeah.
And just having like a little pause, you know, like, do I really want to do this? And then
doing it if it's like, if it feels like a fuck yeah in your body, you know?
Oh, yeah. I love that. Take that one with you guys. Does it feel like a fuck yeah in my body and mind? So true. You know what? I definitely can relate to what you're saying about maybe like having somebody go through a few hoops first. It's never a bad idea. It might make your dating pool smaller. That is a good thing.
That is such a good thing because then, you know, you're actually gonna, it depends what you're looking for, but if you're wanting like meaningful connections that don't necessarily have to like turn into life
partner energy,
but you want something that has actual intimacy, then that is the way you can get it.
Yeah.
And that's been such a like beautiful learning for me here. It's like, just make them jump through a few hoops first if you're wanting that
yeah,
meaning.
Yeah, totally. It's a beautiful feeling to come across like maybe a situation that you've been in before and choose differently. Like every day is a new option. Oh. Every day is a new choice. Like you could be there next Tuesday and just choose differently.
Exactly. And I think as well, like
everything is so like day to day myth that it's so possible to just like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to do things a little bit differently and that's fine.
Totally. Totally. And honestly, this is coming from somebody who, as a globe thotter, like I love like a casual meeting, but again, with intimacy. And I made this amazing friend, Norina, in Panama. And she was this like fairy-like presence, very similar to your energy of just like witchy. And I love surrounding myself with these type of women these days. And she was saying, similar to what our conversation is, she honestly had broken up with her life partner for a while, like just a year ago. She's like, I'm not ready for another relationship, but I am ready for great intimacy. And the way she put it, she was like, I'm looking for high quality connections. And I think that we can all relate to that. Nobody's looking for a low quality connection, whether it be casual, long term, short term, midterm, whatever. We just want high quality.
Exactly.
You know, the type of feeling that like after they've left, do I feel like shit? Like, that's a good question. Basic.
That is a good question. And that's like, you know, if you feel like shit afterwards, then you should not be seeing that person.
So
and
true.
I think we've all had that, right? Like where we've had an encounter with a person and afterwards we've been like, oh my God, what? Like that was not good.
Yeah, yeah. Listening to that feeling and just like doing different next time. And I think a critical part of this, and I'd love to speak to it like with your wisdom, is like how to be gentle with the self as well. You know, like that, like, oof, that day after or after you've gotten your heart broken, or maybe you just weren't on the same page with somebody and you've both realized it now. Like what piece of wisdom would you give to somebody who is going through that moment?
Yeah, I would just say, like, how can you come back to yourself and use this as an opportunity to
meet your needs
and to nourish yourself? Like, in situations like this, like, where we've been either rejected or we've not been on the same page as someone, or we've had our heart broken, or we've done something that we regret.
I find that these are, like, really potent places where we can be like, okay, how can I love myself radically in this moment and be gentle? And maybe that looks like, and this is something I personally love to do, I roll myself up in a blanket like a burrito and I just chill, you know, like I cocoon.
And it's just being honest about what you need as well, because what you need isn't necessarily what you want. And there's a discernment between those two things as well.
Wow, that's really powerful. Giving yourself what you need and the invitation to go deeper into the loving of yourself. Gosh, every therapy session I have ends with that. Basically, that same advice. Take that advice, you guys. Like the trigger beneath it is an invitation to love yourself deeper, to apologize for being hard on yourself, to yourself. Beautiful. Amazing. I also wanted to touch a little bit, since we're on this mystical spiritual wave, about trusting. I think trusting is so much a part of this process too, particularly maybe after heartbreak or when you're putting boundaries in place that were never there before. You're kind of saying, like, I trust that what is aligned and right for me is out there. Like, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I guess, and it depends, like, what you want to call, like, all that is, the creator or God or the universe, whatever it is you have a belief in. I think as long as you trust in the fact that whatever is happening in your life from moment to moment is exactly what needs to happen for your growth, then, like, beautiful things can unfold. And it takes, like, that kind of more, like, critical lens that we can place on ourselves if we, like, have a little fuck up, you know? But when you, like, enter that trust as well, honestly, it's, like, it's a place where magic happens, like, real magic, where things align, where you experience synchronicities. But that being said, it's not easy to, like, place your full trust in something unknown.
So true. You know, it reminds me, when I was in Portugal this past summer, there was somebody that I had been wanting to really just, like, have an intimate moment with. And it was my last night and it just hadn't been working out. Like, you know, paths were not crossing at the aligned moments or just, you know, whatever. There wasn't ease. And I think a part of the trusting, I remember, like, there was the one night before my big flight and I was like, I'm not going out tonight. I'm going to stay in. I'm, like, going to listen to my highest self, which is that Cassie doesn't want to be hungover tomorrow on a bus.
Wise.
And so, yeah, exactly. And my wise self was like, we're not doing that. But, like, I went on Instagram and I saw everybody's stories and, like, my roommate was with this person. I was like, and not in, like, a, you know, romantic way, but I was just like, damn, if I was with them right now, like, this would have happened. And it was like, just trust that it wasn't meant to happen. It wasn't meant to happen. There's a lot of force. As a Taurus, I can force a lot of things, you know, but, like, I have to check myself before I wreck myself. You don't need to force, particularly with intimacy.
Yeah. It's like loosening that grip and, like, the people that are meant to be in your life and the magical connections that you're supposed to have will come in. Like, you don't even need to go and look for it. And, you know, as someone who's, like, tuned into, like, feminine energy, you can really harness that feminine energy to, like, attract in those connections. You don't have to, like, go out and chase. Like, 100%. They'll come to you. If you're doing your thing, if you're feeling good, they come.
Snaps to that. Amazing. I think we can all just, like, lean into the feminine. I think so much of our past was dominated in this, like, I don't know, dark side girl boss energy of, like, make it happen. Make it happen. Let it happen. You know?
Let it happen. Yes, Cassie.
Yes. I feel like I've just had a therapy session. I feel like everybody listening has just had a therapy session. Oh my gosh. Amy, on that note, what is next for you?
Oh, that is such an interesting question and one that I've been figuring out. And I've decided that in May, I'm actually going to leave Sayulita and I'm going to go and travel with my new partner.
Okay.
For however long that relationship wants to last. But yeah, we're going to go and travel together for a few months and then see. And that's all I've planned so far.
Beautiful. Are you thinking, like, throughout Mexico or where's the pool going?
Yeah. So he's Mexican and I'm thinking, like, Aguascalientes. There's some beautiful, like, hot springs around the area.
Beautiful.
And then to Baja California.
So
yeah.
Nice.
And then... Yeah, and I'm only trying to plan, like, 2 months and then see if that trusts, you know?
Amazing. Well, we're going to have to follow you on Instagram, keep up with your little journey. It sounds so amazing. And how can people keep up with you?
Yeah, so my Instagram is yourgirlamy with an underscore at the beginning. And yeah, I post on there. I love to, like, connect with people in the DMs as well. So just drop me a DM.
Amazing. You guys definitely book some time with Amy. Let it transform you. And thanks again for coming by. And we'll talk to you guys next time.
Enchanté.
To keep up with Amy or book a tarot session with her, you can find her on Instagram at underscore yourgirlamy, which will also be linked in this episode's description. Want to link up with like-minded Globethotties from all over the world? Find your squad by joining Globethotters Facebook group. Our Facebook group is a private space to ask all your travel cues, swap stories, and meet up with other adventurers on your wavelength. The Facebook group is also the first to hear about any trips I've got coming up and how you can join me. So, to join the squad, all you gotta do is search Globethotter Travel Gang on Facebook. The link is also in this episode's description.
let's wrap things up with a juicy voicemail straight off the Globetrotter hotline. Today's chaotic and cautionary tale comes from a travel pal of mine, Alex, that I met years ago over unlimited sangria, and takes place all the way in Thailand at a wild beach party. Enjoy!
So I was in Thailand at a wild beach party, and I am a pretty straight, kind of like masculine looking guy, but like I've always enjoyed cross-dressing. So I go up to this British girl. I'm like, hey, I had met her earlier. I was like, hey, like, can I put your dress on? And she was like, sure. We get completely naked. I put her dress on. She puts my shirt, my t-shirt on as a dress. Only clothing article left is my pants. So her friend was sitting on the beach watching the stars, not participating in the party. And he's like, oh, I can watch your stuff, mate. So I'm like, okay, great. I leave my pants with him. I go into this party. I'm running around in this short dress. Everyone is shocked to see this. Like, it really caused a scene, but it was amazing and liberating. And after like an hour, I'm like, I should go check on the guy with my shit. I go back. My pants are stolen. The guy's completely asleep on the beach. My phone, my wallet. Everything is gone, and I'm just standing there in this dress. That's it.
Enchanté. Inspired to share your own epic travel story on the Globetrotter hotline? All you gotta do is go to speakpipe.com/globetrotter or click the link in this episode's description to leave an up to 90-second voicemail detailing your travel tale. A quickie, if you will. Want to stay anonymous? No name is required to leave a voicemail. Till next time, I'm Cassie Martinez.